Real Nerds is a proud partner of the Denver Podcast Network. In the shadow of the mountains,
we speak.
Do you remember where you were when we elected a Sasquatch president?
How about when you learned Ben Franklin was a robot?
Or first heard Stalin's mixtape?
I'm Zach Powers.
I'm Brian Flynn, and we host The Revisionists.
Each episode, one person explains real history and another tells an alternate version.
And the winner becomes the truth. We let comics from Denver and around the country run wild through history.
It's an in-depth look at history, but with more Babadooks.
Check out The Revisionists, available every other Saturday.
Wherever you get podcasts and at revisionistpodcast.com.
Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I'm Andre Gower.
And I'm Ryan Lambert.
And you're listening to
Real Nerds Podcast.
Hey everybody, here's an exciting Real Nerds interview that we did at Denver Comic Con 2018. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast, live from Denver Comic Con. I'm joined here by Sam Hall.
Hey, what's up everybody?
Yeah, not a problem. You wanted to come on and just kind of shoot the shit a little bit. Like, so you're dressed as a video game character that I'm not familiar with. Would you mind kind of telling people over here what your cosplay is right now?
I'm cosplaying as Booker DeWitt from Bioshock Infinite, which is a really great game.
Really? Nice. I never played Bioshock. Somebody gave it to me once, and it was amongst the stack of games that they tried to get me to play. And then, but within the end of the year, I couldn't play. I was just like, I don't have time. Like, I'm trying to make films and so it's not. But like, which kind of brings me to something here. It's like, so you just mentioned that you're making a film right now.
Yes. Yeah.
As a filmmaker, I would like to know, like, what got you interested in filmmaking?
Mainly just the actors around me. They just inspired me to become an actor. Plus, here's a little story of how I became a filmmaker. When I was in 10th grade, my English teacher decided, hey, we're going to do a project. So I was like, okay, so let's do that. And then I decided, hey, I'm going to do a video because I never tried a video. And everybody just loved it, and I loved doing it, so that's how I got into it. And I'm actually going to the Art Institute. Shout out to my friends there.
Did you, when you were doing it in middle school, because I actually, or high school actually, it's 10th grade.
Yeah.
I know, because I actually was doing something very similar, shit now 10 years ago. Fuck. I'm old. So, like, did you, like, start off with, like mini-DV tapes, or did you just move right into the HD cameras and whatnot, or, like...
I use the camera on my phone.
Oh, really? So you're operating straight off of what you have around you.
Yeah.
Which is, like, an admirable trait, you know, like, get the thing done that you want done on your terms and, like, just by any means necessary.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the film that you're making? Like, what is it about? Tell us a little bit about it.
So it's about a guy who after he breaks up with his girlfriend, he starts having these dreams of this girl.
Mm-hmm.
After his friends tell him that this dream girl is not real, he doesn't believe him, of course, because, you know.
No, who do you mean? You, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he tells them that I want to believe in this because I actually feel this. So after the dreams get too intense, and then he tries to go find her in real life. There's going to be three parts to this film, actually.
Really?
Dreams, nightmares, and awakening.
Are you doing them in short or feature length version?
Feature.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, so if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Wow. Jeez. I haven't even gotten my first feature off the ground, man, so kudos. So being 19, and just from that point of view also, being in a Denver, in the Denver setting, how do you go about getting this stuff prepped? How do you go about getting your art out there in a feature-length format, and it's, which is, you know, a daunting task to anybody? Like,
well, I basically have friends.
Yeah.
I have friends that just say, hey, I support you no matter what. And I actually did a music... my friend just got her music out, and I had to interview her, which that was pretty cool, which was a short project. But she said, hey, if you need anything, I'll be in your film. Great. Then I met people at Elitch's saying, hey, I have an acting background. I want to. Can I be in your film? I'm like, sure. So
just calling the things around you.
Yeah.
And really just kind of like gathering what you can.
Yeah.
To get that accomplished. Now, did you write the script that you'll be directing? Okay. So,
yes, I wrote it myself.
So, where did the idea come about? Like, did it come from something personal, or was it just an idea that kind of boiled in, or that kind of evolved from there into the concept that it is today?
It came from when I was in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that when I was in San Francisco, when I was going to school there. Actually, my film teacher kind of inspired me to help me write this. His name is Christopher Coppola, related to Nicolas Cage and Francis Ford.
Oh, really? Nice.
He's a great guy. He's so talented and such a sweet guy, too. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
No, just how do you, how did you come up with the idea? And
oh,
how did
yeah.
you, like, did it just start with an idea of, like, whether it's an image or a script, like, a line of dialogue even, or a character, and how it evolved from there?
Well, it actually came from actual dreams I've had.
Yeah.
And I just branched out from there.
Really?
I used to write, like, little things about, like, hey, I had this dream, and I just was like, put that out there. Then I had this dream, then I put that out there.
So it is kind of like more or less just visualizing and actualizing those
yeah.
concepts that you've held internally.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about, like, you know, like, finding your actors, you know what? Are you fully cast right now? Or are you?
I am not.
You're not? So you're still in search right now.
Yeah, yeah. If any of you want to be an actress, I need two girls right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you have you tried going toward like casting calls in general, or do you kind of just meet with people on a one-on-one basis?
I try to meet people as I can, because I'm going to have that personal level with the person,
right?
And like be a get to know them kind of contact. In order to have them on in the film,
okay.
So I can understand their personality and see if I can match their personality with the character's personality and that depth.
Right on. Oh, perfect. You're talking about dreams as a key point in each film.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing the script or anything and how it's described, like, do you plan this to be a more technically aspirational production? So, like,
yeah.
Are you going to be utilizing still the phone camera, or are you going to try to upgrade from there to, like, say, like a DSLR or anything like that to achieve the best look? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm going to probably be using, like, a 60D or the Blackmagic, honestly, yeah. to work on this film.
I've worked with Blackmagic before. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're, for fellow writers and filmmakers out there, like, what motivates you to keep going when, like, because I don't know if you're like me, but like I've had days when some of my ideas just don't work, or they aren't working for others but they're working for me, and there's a constant uphill battle. So like, how do you kind of overcome that situation and persevere in the face of that kind of odds?
Yeah, I use a lot of music, either it's instrumental or just music with words. I have a Spotify playlist actually dedicated to the film I'm making.
Oh, nice.
It's actually the Dream soundtrack.
There you go. I do that too often. Like, I don't always use the same songs for
yeah.
the film, but I tend to feel like if I, like you do,
yeah.
if I'm listening to that, like, it kind of gets me over the hump
yeah.
on occasion.
Definitely.
Do you, when you're writing, you know, like, do you, like, like on these ones in particular, are you like kind of writing them one at a time, or are they all written and ready to go?
They're all, well, I, for the second film, I'm writing as I make the first film, because, well, it helps me get everything all set up.
Especially since the concept of the first one is dreams and then the other one's nightmares.
Yes.
So you would want to try to figure out how you're counter how you're polarizing one or the other, like working on different ends.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm sure that one in dreams will be the opposite in nightmares, almost like in a direct mirror length.
Oh, yeah.
Who are the filmmakers that inspire you, like whether that's on a professional or just personal level?
Well, actually, when I was in San Francisco, I used George Lucas's Bolex.
Really?
That he filmed on.
Nice.
And same with Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, those 16mm ones.
Yeah.
No, that would be a treat to work with.
Yeah, I know where that case is at that school.
Really?
Yeah. I, like, whenever I see that camera, I'm like, I am holding God. If I drop this, I will die.
I'm holding the camera that Lucas was holding.
Yeah.
And, God, no!
Oh, shit, I dropped it, no!
It's a little different for Coppola. I'm just like, I'm holding the camera of an angry man who made the conversation.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, one last question.
Yeah.
When you make the film, when it's all complete, and, you know, like, what would your ultimate goal be for it? Would you want to send it to festivals? Would you want to do that?
Yeah, I would want to do that. I also would probably just want to do, like, hey, this is my film. Come out and watch it. Here's a ticket.
And like, so you'd probably even be down for four-walling the theater and, you know, like, creating your own show out of it.
Yeah, maybe I could bring it here to Comic-Con next year.
There you go,
yeah.
Do you feel that route is more preferable and, frankly, more fun than the traditional route that we're used to?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been feeling that a lot lately, and I think that it definitely is a mode of thinking that needs to kind of start getting re-challenged.
Yeah.
Because we do rely a lot on that whole, well, if I get bought at Sundance, then it takes off.
Yeah.
But like Brad here, you know, he's a fellow filmmaker, and he's managed to cultivate an audience of his own just at the Bug Theater alone. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sam, for sitting down and talking with us.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Yep. And you've been listening to Real Nerds Podcast live from Denver Comic Con 2018.
Thanks for listening to another fantastic interview at Denver Comic Con 2018. We had an amazing time, and we look forward to seeing you again next year.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Real Nerds Podcast. Real Nerds Podcast is a production of Nebulous Visions Multimedia. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill and Plan 9 Studios for our kick-ass theme song. Also, if you're in the Denver area and you're looking for a cool place to see movies, we see them at the Alamo Draft House in Littleton and now also in Sloan's Lake. Thank you to Colorado Coins, Cards, and Comics for supplying us with all our comic needs, especially you, Andrew. You know who you are. And a big shout out to James's mom. I'm giving you an electronic hug that you can feel through the airwaves. Thanks for listening, and have a nice day.